Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. When children love learning, they can tackle any challenge life throws at them. Sylvan's Insight Assessment can help you determine if your child is ready for what's ahead. It can also identify gaps in learning and point out areas that could be of concern for your child so they can tackle what's to come. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
The SB Nation NFL show is on the clock, and we have it covered here for you with another 2021 NFL Draft Special. I am your host, Michael Kist, and joining me today from Bleeding Green Nation, my longtime co-host of the Kist and Solak show, now doing his own show called the Solak Show. Some would say he is the best co-host in the game. You can also find his work on thedraftnetwork.com. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Everything's delicious, man. Good to be back in the saddle. What have you been up to? Oh, what is how sounds? Who you've been talking to? Impressive NFL players and just cool people and just being a big deal and all that. That's nice. That's good.
We have had some high profile guests on here. None more high profile than you, I would say. Don't let Ross Tucker know that our mutual friend know that we said that. But yeah, man, it's been great here on the SB Nation NFL show. I'm glad to have you in and be able to chat with you. I know our longtime listeners, our gentle listeners, will be glad to hear that we hooked up for a draft podcast, since we're not getting that with BGN this year. And today, what we're going to do is we're going to get involved with the Draft Network mock draft machine. So before we get to that, just a reminder, go sub, rate, review in Apple Podcasts. Show love to the feed, and Ben will allegedly send you a crisp $10 bill for your contribution to the cause. You can always leave questions in those reviews as well, and one of our lovely hosts will address it. So Ben, like I mentioned, what we're doing today is we're going to be utilizing the mock draft machine of the Draft Network. Now, I have an interesting personal story to tell on this. I was at the bar the other night. One of my good friends, who is a casual football fan, we talk about football all the time when I'm there, but he basically said, he's like, I'm going through all these different mock drafts and I'm familiarizing myself with these guys, and I'm using a couple different simulators, but the one I like the best, and he showed me on Google, he's like, this one right here. And he pointed to the Draft Network mock draft machine. So great product by you guys. People love it. Go ahead and tell the listeners what makes it so special.
We like about the machine is that we really tried to teach it to be fluid. And so what we acknowledged is that we study the draft all year at the Draft Network, and then usually get on our final first round mocks like 9 picks right. And it's because the draft is really, really hard to prognosticate, even coming down to the wire. And so we wanted the machine to look different on every simulation, regardless of the information input into it. And so if you pick the same team every time and you're picking at the same spot every time, you don't trade, you're going to get a different board pretty much every time you go. And yeah, there'll be times where you look at the board and you go, there's no way that happens. But I'm here to tell you that when April 28th runs around, something's going to happen. You're going to say, well, there's no way that happened. And it did. And so we invite chaos, and sometimes that means people will send us screenshots of first rounds that they think are ridiculous, but we don't really care too much about that, because that's what makes engaging with the simulation fun and also realistic. Beyond that, the ability for us to change team needs in real time with free agency is really cool. So as a team signs a wide receiver, we make wide receiver less of a priority for them. That's been a lot of fun. We also have taught the machine how to trade. So if you have the premium subscription at the Draft Network, not only does it evaluate trades, grade trades, potentially accept and offer them to you, but also it knows not to trade within its division. It knows who its GM is. And so Dave Gettleman, like the Giants, if you try to trade back to make Gettleman trade back, he won't do it because he doesn't. If you try to make the Bengals trade their pick, they won't do it because they don't trade. Right. And so we've taught it to move. We've taught it to be able to be smart relative to the league. And that's a lot of fun, because it means that, again, like, while it makes it more difficult sometimes, while it makes the outcomes more zany at times, we think it makes it more realistic. And we think it makes everybody better at mock drafting and thinking about the draft. So it's pretty fun.
That's something that I just learned about it after I've used it 100 times, but I never realized that the Gettleman thing was that. That's really cool that you taught.
It's really funny because like our own staff members will be like, hey, like there's a bug, like the Bengals won't trade. And we're always like, no, the bug is the Bengals. The Bengals are bugged. Like this is reflects reality. This is what they do.
That's amazing. So let's kick this off. We're going to go through the first round and we'll fire through some of these and we'll stop and have deeper conversations for others. So what we're doing right now is you can't see it, but me and Ben are screen sharing and he's got up the mock draft machine simulator and we are at pick one with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Now, obviously, they've got to go offensive tackle here to protect their new quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, but they can't pick two players at the same time. So, Ben, let's just say
that's too early. You got to calm down now.
Let's plug in Trevor Lawrence, the quarterback from Clemson, hit the button and draft them. We'll move right to pick two. We'll go to the New York Jets. Do you think it's Zach Wilson right here? Is this a kind of a slam dunk pick? Is he now the consensus number two? There's been a lot of different discussions about the QB2 spot, and I just have a feeling from what I've seen anyway, maybe you can correct me on this, that it's Zach Wilson, the quarterback at a BYU here.
Yeah, people are everywhere on quarterback two in the league, so there's a chance that the Jets are one of these teams with Justin Fields out of Ohio State first. There's a chance that they're one of the teams with Trey Lance out of North Dakota State first. However, as we get closer, it seems we've got more and more people, not only with Wilson as clear QB2, but also some people with Wilson as QB1 over Trevor Lawrence, which is bananas because the league would have told you 2 years ago that Trevor Lawrence was the second coming. And then obviously as always happens, guys really start putting their head into the film and getting to know these guys and start finding some of the warts. And so Lawrence has become more mortal, and Wilson, who had an unbelievable season for BYU this year, has become a bigger deal. So I think that Wilson makes the most sense. It's very easy to talk yourself into him being a scheme fit as well. You talk about San Francisco and running that wide zone offense that Kyle Shanahan ran there. That's what you expect from Mike LaFleur, the new offensive coordinator with the Jets. Zach Wilson enjoyed the same wide zone play action boot approach at BYU and executed it with success. The issue San Francisco had was with poor arm talent, poor creation with Jimmy Garoppolo. That's not an issue with Zach Wilson, who's really, really good on the move. And so you could very easily understand how the offensive coaching staff in New York would talk themselves into Zach Wilson as that player.
I like it. So we've got two quarterbacks off the board right away. Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, then the Miami Dolphins come up next. The feeling is, unless a big trade happens or something like that, they are going to roll with Tua Tagovailoa. So not another quarterback here. And after that, I think you've got three teams really in a row here that don't need a quarterback. Picks 3, 4, and 5. We'll kind of run through those. How do you see those going? Not necessarily how exactly you think it's going to go or how you think it should go, but what's a possibility here that we can kind of build as a scenario?
I think the Dolphins are going to try to trade back from 3 for a team that needs a quarterback. I think the Falcons at 4 are going to try to trade back from their spot for a team that needs a quarterback. And I think the Bengals won't trade because of the aforementioned Bengals not trading thing. Miami is in on the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes, and accordingly, they don't want to spend 3. They're not going to spend it on a quarterback. They have their rookie quarterback in Tua Tagovailoa. They're going to want to either move that pick for Deshaun, or if they're on the clock, trade back to get more future picks to eventually move those future picks for Deshaun, because they anticipate Deshaun being able to hold out in Houston. That's the vibe that you get from Miami, is that they're willing to play this long game. It's not a great class at the top this year. Round one's a little bit thin. The only position that really is strong at the top is quarterback. Wide receiver's also up there, and Miami certainly can talk themselves into needing wide receiver, but there's no need to make that pick at 3. There's no Julio Jones in this class. So Miami's likely to trade back. Atlanta, who is over the cap, just restructured Matt Ryan to try to get under the cap, thereby committing themselves to Matt Ryan for the next couple of years, has needs everywhere across the roster and has to get cheaper. Again, this is a team that needs like an edge. They need an off-ball linebacker. They need a safety. They need a corner. It is not a good defensive draft this year. There is no player on defense that you like taking in the top 5. Yeah. Maybe even the top 10. This may be a full offense top 10, which is crazy. They're going to try to trade back as well. If they stand pat, they'll have to make the picks, but I would anticipate teams like Carolina at 8, Philadelphia at 6, San Francisco at 12, all looking to trade up in this range.
So let's just say that they stand pat, and let's just say that we'll put the quarterback discussion with Miami on hold, and let's say they don't have somebody that wants to move up right away. Who do they pick? Who does Atlanta pick? who can you see? The Bengals, who definitely are going to stand pat. Who do you see them taking?
All right, so Miami at 3 with Will Fuller on the 1-year deal. It doesn't preclude them from taking a speed guy, and I think that Jalen Waddle makes the most sense for their offense, wide receiver out of Alabama. Mm-hmm. Jamar Chase, generally viewed as consensus wide receiver 1. I don't think he's consensus in the league. And for a team with Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, and now Will Fuller, you have a lot of guys who play on the outside.
Yeah.
They need a slot separator, especially because of the way that Tua Tagovailoa likes to play quarterback. And, of course, they're trying to get Deshaun Watson, but Tua's who you've got right now. You don't have a player who can be in the slot. Waddle's the best slot receiver. Separation out the wazoo. Unbelievable run for the catchability. Takes a 2-yard throw, makes it into a 20-yard gain. Quarterback's best friend. Waddle at 3 to the Dolphins. 4 to the Falcons is an absolute nightmare. Again, like I said, like they need everything. And in that way, it's very hard to like key in on what exactly they're going to go for. And if any position of theirs is strong, it's wide receiver with Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. That's what you'd like to take here if you're not going to take a quarterback. Quarterback and wide receiver are your strongest positions. You can talk yourself into a tackle. Caleb McGarry at right tackle was drafted by a different GM. Thomas Dimitroff was the one who selected him. He has not necessarily been great. So this is a spot where I think Penei Sewell is going to be a potential off the board, the tackle out of Oregon. Rashawn Slater as well, out of Northwestern, who some view as a tackle, some view as a guard. We know that from New Orleans, who put a lot of tackle-sized body at guards, that Terry Fontenot, the new GM, is going to be a very heavy investor in the offensive line. That's what New Orleans, they had like a full starting offensive line, and then they drafted Cesar Ruiz in the first round because they're just constantly cycling talent at that position.
Yeah.
So to me, this offensive tackle makes the most sense. Both Sewell and Slater would have to be transition players. They'd have to move to the right side. But Slater has more experience starting at right tackle than Sewell ever has. Sewell's never done it. Slater did it, I want to say, in 2018.
Right.
So you... that maybe that ends up mattering. At the end of the day, I think with the Falcons' long-term time frame, Penei Sewell, who will be 20 when he takes his first NFL snap and is an unbelievable athlete, is probably still the pick. So we'll make him the selection at 4. Kind of sucks for the Bengals, who obviously just added Riley Reiff in free agency, but definitely still need to be serious about their offensive line group. But also, they can stand to improve at guard and at tackle. And like I said about Rashawn Slater, he's potentially a guard in the league or a tackle. He came in with 33-inch arms. He struggles with length at times on the outside. He's got, I think, a build that is conducive to playing on the inside. He compares favorably to Joe Tooney and Ali Marpet, some really high caliber guards in terms of his athletic ability. So they could bring him in and potentially start him at guard and then kick him out to tackle when the Reef deal is over. So Slater, tackle at Northwestern at 5 to the Bengals. That's what I would guess it would look like. But again, I imagine these teams want to trade back.
Yeah, and even if they trade back, you look at what Miami did, they can probably do a trade back and still get Jalen Waddle. So I still like the fit there. And that does bring us to 6 with the Philadelphia Eagles. And we'll spend a little bit more time on this one specific pick, obviously, because of our backgrounds. Yeah, because the Eagles, they could do a couple different things here. They could go quarterback factory route with Justin Fields, which me personally, I would love. I would be a fan of that. They can go the early 2000s Detroit Lions route and go with another first round wide receiver. That would be 2 consecutive years for them doing that with Jamar Chase on the board. I'm sure a lot of fans would love that. They could also go cornerback and finally get that CB2 position locked down, and then long term, you know, make him CB1 once the team is good and Darius Slay is a little bit too old, because it seems like this is a long rebuild for the Eagles that they have ahead. But they have a ton of needs, and Kyle Pitts is also out there. Like, to me, if you mention need, and that's your number one thing when talking about the draft with the Eagles, I think you're dead wrong. This is not the time to be talking about need. This is time to get a stud, regardless of position. What do you see the Eagles doing here?
Oh, man. I mean, to me, they go quarterback. Mm. With Carson Wentz in hand, a player they believe to be a franchise quarterback, which this was just a year ago, and they were like, yeah, he's a franchise quarterback. How far we've come. Yeah. At 53, with needs at safety, with needs at corner, with needs at linebacker, with needs at wide receiver, they took Jalen Hurts. And they said it's because quarterback's the most important position. We are very smart. We are going to be so set at quarterback. We're going to invest in quarterback constantly. Yeah. You know, they were asked, you know, in the immediate wake of the pick, like, aren't you worried about having 2 quarterbacks? Like, you've had this problem before. And they were like, no, it's great. We love having 2 quarterbacks. Obviously, it was a total freaking nightmare by the time the season ended. But I don't think that they view that as like a lesson to learn. I think they more so view that as, oh, look, things fell apart with Carson Wentz, and we have Jalen Hurts to potentially start for us. Like, good job, we did it. So if they were willing to add to the quarterback room last year with a second-round pick.
Right.
Why not this year, which right now nobody is in this room besides Hurts. They don't even have a second dude yet.
Right.
They're going to be willing to add to it again. This is an extremely good quarterback class. We've taken Lawrence and Wilson off the board. Justin Fields out of Ohio State was ranked like 0.0002 stars below Trevor Lawrence coming out of high school. Mm. Has, you know, should have started at Georgia. Kirby Smart doesn't start him in favor of Jake Fromm, which we may look back on as like one of the biggest mistakes of like college football history. But anyway, yeah. Goes to Ohio State, is unbelievably successful. Built like Cam Newton, apparently he's going to run a 4.4, can throw a 60-yard ball into a trash can. Just unbelievable talent. And then Trey Lance out of North Dakota State, a guy who should have been offered by Minnesota and wasn't. We'll talk about mistakes there. Doesn't throw a pick as a 19-year-old freshman playing, again, at the FCS level. But you don't usually see any quarterbacks at any level just not throw interceptions en route to national championships. Colin Kaepernick-like build, true dual threat stuff. It's crazy. I don't think the Eagles will love Lance, because I think they want higher caliber of competition and more starting experience.
Yeah.
Usually when they draft in the lower levels, it's guys who have been starting for multiple years.
Yes.
It's a very hard bet to make on Trey Lance. I would imagine they really like Justin Fields. So to me, like you said, like we're not talking about need here. We're probably talking about value.
Yeah.
They value quarterback more than any other team in the league, and they don't have a starter established right now. So if Lance and Fields are there, I'd be stunned if one of the two wasn't the pick. My gut says it would be Fields.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. So give Justin Fields to the Philadelphia Eagles, and we will roll on to pick 7, the Detroit Lions. You got to feel with Kenny Golladay out of the house. Can we plug in Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts here? Which one?
I think that, I think it would be Jamar Chase. Campbell's an ex-tight end. Maybe it's like Kyle Pitts, but they didn't make the TJ Hawkinson pick.
Right.
Chase, like I said, I think is generally viewed as the wide receiver one. The Lions would be happy to get him at 7. Kyle Pitts is also awesome and is crazy, but like for my own sake, I don't want him to end up with Anthony Lynn. I don't need him blocking. This is not what I signed up for.
Exactly. I see him more as like a power slot slash X receiver slash occasionally you give him some split flow zone type deals that he can seal block and do some easier things in the blocking game. I agree. I see him more of as a receiver. Let's go to pick 8. The Carolina Panthers, who are still looking for a quarterback. They need some help up front. There's a lot of different needs on this team that Matt Rhule is building up. Who would you slot him here for?
Ooh, this is actually tricky.
I kind of want to go. I like Trey Lance here to
right.
the Panthers.
The Panthers are going to do something nuts at quarterback. What right. it is, I don't know. they want to be in on the Deshaun Watson trade carousel. I don't know how much they can participate in that. They wanted to sign Matt Stafford. If Lance is here, like I said, I do think it would be the pick.
Yeah.
Both corners make sense for them, and they desperately need help there. Kyle Pitts needs help for them. They don't have a tight end. So if they didn't want to go quarterback slash have already addressed the position and done something besides Bridgewater, it's a really good board for them. But as it stands right now, I would say Trey Lance makes the most sense. Sucks for Denver.
Yep. Denver, who, like, I mean, you look at their quarterback situation, and there are some Drew Lock defenders out there. I am not among them. So this is a bad situation for them. I think this is probably where you get your first cornerback off the board, right?
Are they signing Kyle Fuller? We're recording this as they're probably signing Kyle Fuller.
Probably. So yeah. If they let's say we're recording it at noon. Kyle Fuller has not been signed to Denver. If he doesn't sign with Denver, let's go with probably the quarterback out of Virginia Tech, Caleb Farley.
Yeah, so it's a Vic Fangio defense that's going to put its cornerbacks in off alignments. It's going to give them space. We haven't seen Patrick Surtain really do this much at Alabama. Patrick Surtain and Caleb Farley out of Virginia Tech are the two consensus top corners. Surtain has more experience and more polish and is more pro-ready at the line of scrimmage. Farley has more experience, has more polish, is more pro-ready in off coverage. Farley's probably also the better athlete outright. And so I think that even if Denver doesn't think that they're going to be like that great this year, but maybe be better next year when they solve quarterback, Farley still, I think, has a developmental track that you like. He was a wide receiver convert to corner, so he makes the most sense to me. He is very, very likable. I don't know if you've watched him. Are you watching anybody this year? He's great. You should watch him. He's a lot of fun.
I have watched a little bit of him, and I think this is a perfect spot for another quarterback because the Dallas Cowboys, and I guess it depends on how you feel about Trayvon Diggs, but, you know, they recently let go of Byron Jones. There's an obvious need there. The defense was giving up points at a historic rate last year. They are loaded with weapons and big contracts on the offensive side of the ball. It really feels like they should go defense here, that they have to go defense here. And maybe they need an inside guy, too, on that defensive front. If you watched Dallas last year, you just saw them get gashed in the middle of the field. And if they're going to try to make their linebackers look better, they need to be more stout in the middle of that defense. I thought Dalvin Tomlinson would have been a really smart free agent signing for them. However, he goes to the Vikings, so there's still help there. However, I think they go quarterback here. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, so there's a little weird because their new DC is Dan Quinn.
Right.
Dan Quinn does what? Seattle cover three.
Cover three, yeah.
Meanwhile, they're adding like two gapping defensive tackles. There's like Brent Urban and Terrell Basham is like a 3-4 end. So I don't like get it, but sure, keep going for it. Assuming they're running Seattle cover three at the very least as the coverage shell, which is what Quinn was doing up until he was fired at Atlanta, then everything that we said about Farley making more sense for Vic Fangio is going to put his corners off. Makes Patrick Surtain make sense for Dan Quinn, who's going to put his corners in press. Yep. So it's a very nice scheme fit. It makes a lot of sense.
Now we get to the New York Giants. So we're going a double dip here with the NFC East. And there are a lot of needs on this team. We talked about Kyle Pitts before. Like, is this where you start to look at some of the playmakers like Pitts, like Devonta Smith out of Alabama, maybe some teams like Rashad Bateman, like a whole lot. But there is need for playmakers in New York to try to put lipstick on the pig that is Daniel Jones. But they could use some help elsewhere, too. Where do you see them going here?
I start thinking about Kyle Pitts at 1-1. He's awesome. He's crazy. And, like, we lived through the entire rise and fall of 12 personnel in Philadelphia and kind of all the advantages and disadvantages that come with that. Pitts is a problem with no solution. Unless Jalen Ramsey is employed by your football team, you don't have a player who solves Kyle Pitts' problem from the moment he steps onto a football field, which is, like, bananas level impact from a macro level. Is he going to be rookie of the year? Maybe not. Is he going to be a nightmare for opposing defense coordinators from day one? Yes. And that is more effectual in the win-loss column. So I started thinking about Kyle Pitts from day one. At this point, Giants at 11, especially with Ja'Marr Chase off the board, I think Pitts is the clear full send. The problem, my hesitancy, is that a team that takes Devontae Smith is going to be a team that's very like film and like not very like numbers, because Devontae Smith, if he's successful in the league, is going to be a significant outlier at 175 pounds.
Right.
Don't know if you know much about the general manager in New York, but he's a he's a film guy.
Yeah,
Devontae's got really good film. So there's a chance he's in love with Devontae Smith. There's a chance he's in love with Michael Parsons as well. But to me, Kyle Pitts, best playmaker, best pick.
Now we get to the San Francisco 49ers and a team that probably wants to be in on the quarterback sweepstakes to some degree. However, a team that was also very, very banged up and has a lot of other needs throughout that team. Where do you see them going here?
They can't do Mac Jones. People want them to do Mac Jones. It would be erroneous.
It would be objectively hilarious if they went Mac Jones here. And they're going to be tempted to.
I mean, anybody but Jimmy, right? That's the motto this year.
Right.
J.C. Horn makes sense at 12, San Francisco. Trevon Merrick, safety out of TCU, makes sense at 12. If you take an offensive tackle, you're admitting that McGlinchey's bad play is probably going to continue, which sucks because he looked pretty good there for a while.
Yeah, and they just brought in Trent Williams on a really big deal.
Yeah, I don't see how edge makes sense. And the interior offensive line class, I would be willing to take Elijah Vera Tucker this early out of USC. I'm not sure if they would be. I think J.C. Horn's probably your best bet corner out of South Carolina. They brought back Emmanuel Mosley. They brought back Jason Verrett. But they have absolutely no depth. They're losing that whole depth chart. He's a very, very good press corner. He's going to be able to play true man for them, which is something that they struggled with Sherman and Witherspoon as starters. So I would say Horn, but there's a lot of ways for this one.
Yeah, and Verrett, isn't he back on like a one-year deal, betting on himself again after that long injury history? Which, so long-term answer, we don't know.
Right. Shout out Jason Verrett for betting on himself. But man, I really hope he's healthy. I'm scared about that one.
Yeah, I mean, he's a fantastic player when he is, for sure. Now we get to the Los Angeles Chargers. Got their quarterback situation handled. They could protect him a little bit better. They could also use some pass rush. Where do you see them going here?
Right. So the Chargers, they've got now, I want to make sure I get their offensive line right. Brian Bulaga is back at right tackle. Corey Linsley is now the center. Matt Feeler's at it. We don't know exactly where he's going to play yet. My guess is right guard. Left tackle still is Sam Tevy and Trey Pipkins. Unacceptable. Christian Darrisaw out of Virginia Tech, Tevin Jenkins out of Oklahoma State, Samuel Cosmi out of Texas, Liam Eichenberg out of Notre Dame, Jalen Mayfield out of Michigan. This is the next tier of very talented tackles. To me, I'm a little bit hesitant on Darrisaw. I personally would take Tevin Jenkins here. I would understand the Darrisaw pick, though. That seems to at least going to be on him. This is really like dealer's choice. I don't know if you have a guy that you like. If not, I'm going to take Tevin Jenkins. He's an absolute bully. He's a great run blocker. He's a lot of fun.
Yeah, Tevin Jenkins is, in fact, a bully. I've seen his reel, and it's really impressive. Yeah. Now we get to the Minnesota Vikings at 14, who struck gold last year after trading Stephon Diggs, but then drafting Justin Jefferson, much to the chagrin of a lot of Eagles fans who are still ticked off about the Vikings celebrating in the war room. Who are they celebrating this year?
Merrick, safety at TCU makes sense. You lost Anthony Harris. They lost Anthony Harris officially yet? Or no? He's a free agent currently. I don't know if he's signed somewhere or not.
Yeah, I think they're going to make a push for him. But let's just say that Anthony Harris is gone. Yeah. And they still need that, because I do like Merrick.
Merrick is good, and I also like the idea of Elijah Vera Tucker, right? Because they lose Riley Reiff. Now you're Ezra Cleveland's maybe going to play tackle for you, which means your guard spot opens back up. You still don't want to have to start Drew Samia for another year. Vera Tucker was a multi-year starter at guard, extremely effective run blocker, very, very good pass protector in short areas, who had to play tackle for USC this past year, and then was also just like awesome, which was nuts. But he's probably a guard in the league. And I think he's a top 15 caliber pick at guard. So for Minnesota, a team that loves loves investing in the trenches, that makes sense. I will say they usually go defensive line here early, and defensive tackle is bad. But Quiddy Pay, they'd like, super athletic edge out of Michigan. Aziz Ojulari, probably, if they lose Danielle Hunter, makes a lot of sense for them as their outside speed rusher guy. So I would take Vera Tucker. They would probably take Pay or Ojulari, because that's what Mike Zimmer does.
Let's go with Pay, just because I feel like a draft where an edge rusher isn't reached for by the time you get to pick 14 is pretty unrealistic.
It's a bad class. It's a bad class this year, man.
Yeah, I talked about that last week with John Ledyard. We were going through like, man, like who would you trust to come in and be productive day one? And there really wasn't an answer there. We had just spoken with the Vikings about Anthony Harris. He's still out there. I mean, Jacksonville Jaguars, Las Vegas Raiders, those teams could be in play for his services. So there might be a little bit of a bidding war there. But we move on in the NFL draft. We go to pick 15 with the most active team in free agency, the New England Patriots. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if they try to get involved in the QB sweepstakes, maybe move up for Trey Lance, something to that effect. But they've addressed a lot of needs on the offensive side of the ball. They're getting some players back as well. Donta Hightower had opted out last year. They signed Jalen Mills, which befuddled both of us. They signed Nelson Agholor for more guaranteed or more average per year than Corey Davis, which was interesting. What do you see them having us scratching our heads with on this pick? Because they usually make it a little bit weird for us.
This is Mac Jones, right? This is we signed Cam Newton to a deal such that if we have him as a backup, no one's going to like turn their head. You know what I mean? It's a very low caliber deal. They had absolutely no infrastructure to support a quarterback at all until when free agency began, which Mac Jones is like a Garoppolo. He's a Goff. He's a Cousins. He's going to just maximize what you got. He's not really going to bring it up to new levels. Not really going to lift up a bad team. Patriots were a bad team. Now they're a pretty good team. Jonnu Smith, Hunter Henry, Nelson Agholor, Kendrick Bourne, as you brought up, and still picks tad to that offense as well. Offensive line you expect to be good with some of the investments they've made recently. This is an infrastructure that could support Mac Jones and still win games. And if Mac is struggling, if he's a rookie, you still have Cam Newton, the quarterback run, and you expect to be successful. So to me, this is Mac Jones. I would be surprised if Jones gets any further down the board than 15, versus considering what we've heard about his stock thus far.
I love it. At 16, we're almost at the I love it for the entertainment value. I want to see how all that works in New England. They're definitely more entertaining last year, and the Mac Jones element would be interesting to add to that. Let's get to 16, because we're almost halfway through the draft here. We get to the Arizona Cardinals. Patrick Peterson now has moved on. There's a clear need at cornerback. Kenyon Drake is now gone to the Las Vegas Raiders, which was fascinating because Drake struggled last year because the Cardinals had no interior line or push or anything like that. The Raiders purged themselves of their interior offensive line. Three-fifths of their offensive line is gone, and then bring in Drake, the guy that had struggled with those same situation. Just fascinating. What can you see the Arizona Cardinals doing here?
I'd love to give him Devontae Smith. I'm worried that they're going to be like, nah, we signed AJ Green. We're good.
Right,
which is not crazy. A thought you should have in 2021. AJ Green struggling. They don't need Aziz Ojulari. They got Marcus Golden back with Chandler Jones, and obviously JJ Watt, the interior rusher. Micah Parsons, Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama now.
Right.
You believe Chase Edmonds can be the starter for you, and I like Chase Edmonds, but you had the rotation earlier. It's important that your running back can pass protect and pass catch because of the way that you call plays.
And Najee
can. Najee Harris can do both. Really, really good hands for a 6'3", 220-pound back, and then obviously that frame helps him in pass protection. So I like that. I'll do Najee Harris. 16 is rich, but Najee's pretty good.
Yeah, I feel it's pretty rich. It all makes sense. I would like for them to go in a different direction, but you know, sometimes teams take a running back a little bit too high. So the Arizona Cardinals take Najee Harris. That rounds out our top 16. So the first half of the draft, still on the board, Devonta Smith, the Heisman winner, Micah Parsons, as you mentioned, two huge names still out there. We'll see where they go right after this.
Support for this show comes from Sylvan Learning. As a parent, you want your child to have every opportunity, but giving them the tools they need to tackle every challenge, that takes a team. Now more than ever, educational support tailored exactly to what your child needs can make all the difference. That's why parents have trusted Sylvan Learning for 45 years as the ultimate teammate in their child's educational journey, instilling in them a love for learning and a passion for reaching the next level. And Sylvan's Insight Assessment can identify gaps in learning and areas that could be of concern for your child. It's a 360-degree view into your child's learning that you can't find anywhere else, and helps ensure that your child didn't miss something in school that might put them at a disadvantage in the future. And right now, it's the best price of the year at $29. Go to sylvan29.com to learn more and get your child's assessment for only $29. That's sylvan29.com.
And we're back here on the SB Nation NFL show. Michael Kist here with special guest Benjamin Solak of the Draft Network and Bleeding Green Nation. We are doing our first round mock using the Draft Network mock draft machine. And we are on the board with 17. The first half is out of the way. And we get to the Las Vegas Raiders, who we were just talking about, have purged their offensive line. They got needs, it feels like, all over the place. And it seems like they kind of created it on their own. I feel like, yeah. is this where Micah Parsons comes off the board here, or do they go with the did they try to backfill that offensive line that they purged?
Yeah, I think that this has long been the Micah Parsons spot. I would still expect it to be the Micah Parsons spot. Christian Darrisaw makes a lot of sense this early as well. If you want to replace Trent Brown with another player of equal dangerous size. Darrisaw was a left tackle, so you got to move him to right, but you should still be okay with that. With that said, I do think it's the Michael Parsons spot. Gruden's going to love everything that Parsons can bring as a three-down versatile linebacker. I don't want to say Derek Brooks' name because it's not fair, because he's not Derek Brooks. He's not going to be as good, but if you want a guy who looks like and moves like he could run the pole in Tampa too, right, and be that sideline-to-sideline influencer, hit like a ton of breaks. Micah Parsons, 2019, not hard to talk yourself into that. It's going to take time for him to get there, but Gruden's still got 6 years, $68 million left on that deal. He's got some time, brother.
You mentioned Derek Brooks and say it's unfair. I think John Gruden's going to be hearing this all the time, yelling at him, you want to be Derek Brooks? Brother, we're going to see those clips. Yeah. So let's get to pick 18. We had already taken a wide receiver for the Miami Dolphins with the third overall selection, if I'm not mistaken. That was Jalen Waddle out of Alabama. So that need is off the board. Can you see another edge coming off the board here? Maybe they go running back. They've got a linebacker need. Where can you see Brian Flores going with this one?
Yeah. It would be fun to just do Devontae again, right? Just Jalen Waddle and then Devontae Smith. They'd just be massively irresponsible. I want to take Christian Darrisaw here. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Because they drafted last year Robert Hunt and Austin Jackson. So they went early on offensive line. got Hunt on the field, liked him at right tackle. He's probably still going to be better at guard. Got Austin Jackson on the field at left tackle. Not as good. And the biggest issue with that team down the stretch, besides having a running back rotation that, you know, they were kind of dealing with injury, bouncing guys in and out of the practice squad, besides the quarterback shift to a midseason and then back to Fitzpatrick when they're trying to push for the playoffs, besides the wide receiver injuries, like, all these stuff are problems. The biggest issue is that their offensive line play still is not where they want it to be. And Tua or Watson, either way, you've got injury-prone rookie quarterback or guy in whom you just put one of the biggest investments in league history, you need to be strong in protection. And remember, Watson's Mr. Little, like, run around, invite pressure, right? You've got to be strong on the offensive line. I think they know that. And I think that they showed the investment last year. Bring in Darisaw. Now, Darisaw, Austin Jackson, Robert Hunt, all of them can potentially play tackle for you. Get your two best at tackle. If that means Hunt goes and plays guard, that's fine. If it means Darisaw flat out beats Austin Jackson, that's fine. They just traded for Isaiah Wilson. Like, they are going to get this line right. And Darisaw is huge and physical, so he fits their mold. That's where I'm going to put him.
So now we get to Washington, the Washington football team, and they've had a really interesting offseason. They had a need at quarterback. They think they addressed that for the time being with Ryan Fitzpatrick, which scares the daylights out of me because he's torched the Eagles two times in a row last two times he played them. So there's that. And probably, I mean, they gave the Bucs fits, right, in the playoffs with Tyler Heinicke at quarterback. This is a good overall roster. And only that, they filled a couple other needs at cornerback, William Jackson, on what I thought was a great deal. So you've got that position filled. Mm-hmm. They bring in Panthers wide receiver Curtis Samuel to play alongside of Terry McLaurin. So you've got now a little bit more juice on the offense. So I feel like they can go a lot of different ways with this one. Maybe they're looking to fill like that Kevin Pierre-Lewis type role, and maybe the kid out of Notre Dame is the answer there. Where do you see them going with this one?
Yeah, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah out of Notre Dame. You could try to play him in the box in year one if you want. He's built like a safety. He plays like a safety. He's listed as a linebacker, but you got to be willing to move that guy. It's not a good linebacker class. This is a tough ask to have them fill that, which I agree, important Kevin Pierre-Lewis role next to Cole Holcomb. I'm not sure they're going to be able to do. Corner's tempting. Obviously, they have Kendall Fuller and William Jackson, but I think Greg Newsom's a really good player. Do you want to bring more to that wide receiver room? Be able to play with Samuel, Logan Thomas, Terry McLaurin, and then an X, like a true... I mean, because McLaurin's an X now. He's great. He's awesome. He's the man.
Yeah.
I don't know. You tell me. I don't know who to pick here.
The way I view how a team should attack this, and I think this is where the Buffalo Bills kind of lost me in free agency this year, was we see what the Bucs did with their offense. Constantly adding talent. We see what the Kansas City Chiefs do with their offense. It's all over offense, taking Mecole Hardman when they don't necessarily need a wide receiver, just get more explosive. Get more explosive with your offense. Put up points. With that defense that they have, they will keep them in games, get your splash plays, go get yourself Devonta Smith at 19. I think that's where you take a swing on him. Tell me I'm wrong. Plug him in there.
I take Samuel Cosmic. here's the thing. I hear you, but also, like, I always forget that the football team literally just, like, does not have a starting left tackle right now, right? Okay. Jerron Christian, Cornelius Lucas, like, they're kind of just rotating in some young guys and doing their best with that. And we love to talk about Taylor Heinicke's game against Tampa in the playoffs. It was like, oh, that was cool. A lot of it was cool because he was getting immediate pressure and was able to survive. You know what I mean? That's kind of not where you want Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think Samuel Cosmi out of Texas can be a year one starter for you. I think it'll be better over long term. He needs some mass. He's like 6'7", 305. You know what I mean? Like, he's a little light in the pants. But in terms of movement skills, he's really, really quality. So they would have loved Darisaw here, but I think Samuel Cosmi is still a worthy consolation prize.
All right, so we'll go Cosmi. I won't begrudge you for going offensive tackle there. As long as you're doing something to help your offense long term and getting that pass protection right is definitely – I want the fancy toy with Devonta Smith. Kill me.
Send him to Chicago.
I was going
to
say, right here with Chicago, who are just an abject mess, starting Andy Dalton at quarterback, could definitely need some help. We don't know what's going on with Allen Robinson. He's been tagged. Maybe he's traded. Anthony Miller has been, there's been some trade rumors around him. You need some help there, right? This is the obvious Devonta Smith spot for me.
Yes, I would say so. I would say for Chicago, it's take the absolute best player that's available, which at this stage is Devonta Smith. You might be trading Akeem Hicks. You've already cut Kyle Fuller. Like, you're clearly trying to get rid of good players, which is interesting. But at this stage in the draft where your team is just in this weird limbo spot, Devonta's the best player, and you brought Allen Robinson back. That's nice, but you still need wide receiver behind him, and you're probably not getting Allen Robinson back next year. So Devonta is the move.
Yeah, definitely a long term need there. Now we get to the Indianapolis Colts, who traded for a little known quarterback named Carson Wentz. So what do we do to help the Colts get over the hump? Because it feels like they think they're a little bit closer than they might be, but they were competitive in the playoffs. How do you help this team get over the hump, Ben?
They've always invested in an offensive line. Mm-hmm. They have a need at left tackle. They haven't filled the end free agency, and we just went on a little tackle run, so we screwed them there. They've always gone cheap at corner. Greg Newsom is a perfect scheme fit and would be ideal as a starter for them. And I'm not sure they'd make that pick. I think they're trying to. They said they wanted to match any offer T.Y. Hilton got. So I think the wide receiver's not that big of a deal. It's Greg Newsom II out of Northwestern. Really, really good player. Dealt with injury during his Northwestern career, and then was just kind of quietly very good for a very good Northwestern defense over the course of the season. So his hype kind of came up late, and then he tested quite well at the pro day, better than I would have thought. He's checking athletic boxes. He checks production boxes. It's the lack of snaps that concerns you. I'm trying to remember if that's something that really worries Ballard, but I feel like he took Rocky Sand, he took Ben Banigou, he took Kamoko Touré, like a lot of guys who dealt with injury and missed some time in college. So Greg Newsom, who I love, and that'd be a good fit in Indy.
I like it. Let's go to 22 with the Tennessee Titans, who have been pretty active. I mean, they're able to get back Jayon Brown at linebacker on a one-year deal, which is surprising. I guess the market wasn't what we thought it would be for him out there. They also bring in Janoris Jenkins, the cornerback, after releasing Adoree Jackson, which had some people scratching their head. I'm a little bit higher on Janoris Jenkins than I think a lot of people are. I think he's solid.
Jackrabbit, baby.
Jackrabbit will make some plays on the ball. He'll also get burnt every now and then. They have an obvious need up front. I think at offensive tackle, they tried to go with Isaiah Wilson last year. That has been just an abject disaster for them. I think they can also help continue to help the secondary. Where do you think they go here? Oh, Bud Dupree. They also bring in Bud Dupree, and I like that Danico. I love the Danico Autry signing from the Colts.
Yeah. Everything Mike Vrabel does in the front seven, I'm like, sick. And then everything they do elsewhere, I'm like, that's bad. not great. This team has AJ Brown, and then their next closest target getter was Corey Davis, and he's gone. And then it was like Adam Humphries, and he's gone. And Khalif Raymond is their deep guy, and he's gone. And the tight ends, who they play a lot of tight ends, 13 personnel, Jonnu Smith, and he's gone. And Anthony Firkser, he's back. Yay, Anthony Firkser. They lost so much skill, talent at wide receiver and tight end. They absolutely, I don't care how much of a running team you want to be.
Yes.
You have to have two functional receivers in the NFL
100%.
In 2021. Rashad Bateman. Compares very nicely to Corey Davis, has the skills to fill the Corey Davis role very successfully. Intermediate and breakers, use blocking, slot and outside alignments, tough after the catch, tough going up for the football. Bateman's a very, very good player.
Yeah.
And so used also in a PJ Fleck offense, just as Davis was in Western Michigan. So you can make the switch successfully. Bateman be a home run pick for them.
Can you score with the Chiefs? Can you score with the Bills? Look at your wide receivers and answer that question. Right now, the answer is no. And Bateman doesn't solve all of that, but he gets you closer to where you need to be. Let's get to the New York Jets with Joe Douglas at the helm of their draft, part of this rebuild. They're doing a lot, and I like what they're doing in free agency. What can they do in the draft to continue rebuilding that roster?
Draft is either July. Full send.
Mm.
Who's the last Jets edge rusher to have over 10 sacks?
I couldn't tell you.
So people say it was Calvin Pace in 2013, but he lined up as like an inside rusher a lot.
Right.
And like he just got 10 sacks. Yeah. So it's Pace or it's John Abraham in like 2000 and, I want to say like seven.
Right.
Oh, man. Like it's been a, either way, it's been a while since they've had a really good edge. They signed Carl Lawson. I think that's a home run. I think that's going to be great. Ojulari is tricky now because if we're talking about a Robert Saleh defense, one of those guys has to be hand in the dirt, five technique, tight to a tackle. Ojulari weighed in at like 250 plus. I don't think he played at that. Carl Lawson's also like he's 260, but he's a squatty dude. None of these guys are the big long builds of a Bosa. And it's like, all right, nobody's the build of a Bosa. Like you can't be like, oh, the Robert Saleh defense needs a Bosa. That's not, you can't do that. You can't, there's only one. I guess there's two actually, but there's only two. And so you can't, do they want that big body hand in the dirt guy? If so, it's probably Jalen Phillips, who's like 6'5", 265 out of Miami. It. But the better player, not the better, the better pass rusher right now to me is Azeez Ojulari out of Georgia. So I would take him.
Okay. Well, let's go to 24 to the Pittsburgh Steelers. As they try to keep Big Ben upright, there's some obvious needs there. What they've done in free agency, they were able to bring back Cameron Sutton, the defensive back. However, they lost Mike Hilton, who has been a...
Don't mind it. Sutton's better.
Yeah, you think so? I really like Hilton, but I do like
Sutton. Here's the thing about Hilton. Hilton's one of those players where like, oh, they blitz him a lot on passing downs. That tells me what I need to know about him in coverage. You know what I mean?
Disagree.
Like he's very good in what they ask him to do.
Yeah.
But what they ask him to do... belies a little bit what he's got in his tank, in my opinion. I think Sutton's a better cover player.
It's like that Jamal Adams thing, right? Why is he blitzing so much? Well, watch him in coverage sometimes because it's
Well, Hilton loves to blitz. He's going to blitz. We're just going to do that and don't ask us any more questions.
That's fair. They also bring back Zach Banner on a cheap deal at offensive tackle. They could definitely use some help there. Where you got him going here, Ben?
Oh, we kind of we beat up this board a little bit for him. Went on corner, went on tackle. I don't think they take running back this early.
No.
The Steelers invariably in round one take an athlete they shouldn't take in round one. Like Artie Burns, Terrell Edmonds.
Edmonds was a shocker.
Steelers fans always get mad at me because I don't draft them a tackle in round one. They haven't taken a tackle in round one this millennia.
Right.
I don't know what you want from me. Like, this is what the team does.
That's your fault, though, obviously.
Right, so... Jalen Phillips is probably the best athlete I'm looking at the top of the board right now.
And they have no depth at edge, right? It's T.J. Watt and it's Highsmith, right? Yeah,
right. Then Ola Odunayi, the Toledo kid who I liked from a while ago, but yeah, he's a special teamer.
Yeah.
Right now, maybe we should have sent Phillips to the Jets because Ojulari makes a lot more sense in terms of body comp and 2-point stance and wide alignments. Phillips can do that. He did that at Miami. It's just not what his body type looks like for the league. Mm. So it's not perfectly snug, but I'm struggling to find another name here. I mean, corner. Eric Stokes. Eric Stokes ran a 4.35, jumped like 38 inches, right?
Is he like the Artie Burns type pick?
Yeah, well, no, he's better than Burns was, sure. Yeah. I wouldn't have told you Stokes was the caliber of athlete he was watching his film. I was like, oh, this is a good, smart player. I think he's fast. I don't think he's particularly great transitions or explosive. And then he was quick and he was explosive in testing. Joe Hayden and Steven Nelson are both on expiring deals, if memory serves correctly. Either way, you lost Hilton, you have the 2-year deal on Sutton, you got to keep adding to the corner room. Eric Stokes will play outside for you. Make that the pick.
Okay, I like it.
That's a good one.
While we have the time, let's burn through a few of these kind of quickly because we've got the Jacksonville Jaguars on the board. They've already picked for us. They've got the Cleveland Browns and then the Baltimore Ravens. Where do you see how do you see that playing out potentially with those three picks?
Okay, Jacksonville Jaguars, I think, still need help on defense. To me, this is where Trevon Merrick's fall stops. Like they have absolutely nobody in the safety room right now.
Yeah.
Love what Cleveland's done in free agency. I don't know about you. I think Cleveland's going to be great next year. Very clear, invested in the defense team. Christian Barmore out of Alabama, tackle makes a lot of sense, but this would be the Jalen Phillips spot for me.
I like it.
Get a high-impact rusher opposite Garrett. Start winning some one-on-ones because he's always going to draw doubles for you. Ravens at 27, lost Matt Judon, lost Yannick Ngakoue, Pernell McPhee and Tyus Bowser, now the starters at edge. Would be a great Ojulari spot, would be a great Trevon Merrick spot. They're both gone. They're apparently in on the Kenny Golladay sweepstakes. If they don't get it, let's go Terrace Marshall. Right now, they love to be a vertical team. Marshall was one of the best vertical receivers over the last 2 years at LSU, but he has the size, 6'3", 200, that Marquise Brown doesn't have. And he's able to work the intermediate as well. He ran a lot of in-break and stuff in the slot. This past season as well, with no Jamar Chase or Justin Jefferson on that team. 28 to the New Orleans Saints. Saints, I like to go BPA, right? I mean, this is a team that is not going to have the money to make a lot of moves. Owusu-Koramoah at Notre Dame is the best player, but they have Chauncey Gardner-Johnson and Malcolm Jenkins both already in that role, which is that box safety, weak side linebacker role. Greg Rousseau, Christian Barmore, Nick Bolton, Zaven Collins. I hate everything. I hate everything. I'll still take Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah. You're going to add to the depth of the second level. Jenkins athletically isn't exactly what he used to be. Linebacker depth behind DeMario Davis isn't great. If you think Owusu-Koramoah can mass up and be a true box player, like I said, he's the best player available. So there you go.
Nice. That brings us to 29. We got a little bit of time to sit on these picks with the Green Bay Packers up here. What can they do to get themselves over the hump and really compete with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who you want to take them down twice last year?
Right. So Green Bay, new defensive coordinator, don't really know how much they're going to invest on defense. I'm interested to see it. What I do know is that the offensive line is experiencing a little bit of a shuffle, right? Yeah. Brian Bulaga gone last year. Elkton Jenkins now replacing Corey Linsley at center. Jenkins was their problem solver, right? He could play everywhere for them. Now, apparently, they want to just leave him starting at center, which to me, I don't know. Billy Turner at right tackle, don't love it. David Bakhtiari coming off of major injury. The Notre Dame offensive tackle, Liam Eichenberg, was a player who I watched him and I wrote down Brian Bulaga's name. I think he's so ridiculously rock steady and so just not sexy and just not a great athlete, okay. Not going to finish guys, but just never loses. And it's going to be plug and chug for 10 years. So I like Liam Eichenberg to potentially take the right tackle job away from Billy Turner, keep that offensive line strong. They're trying to cut corners there, and I don't like it.
That pick makes a ton of sense. And now we get to the Buffalo Bills. So like I said, kind of confounded me in free agency, and they can still do some things, but I felt like continuing to add offensive firepower. That's kind of my theme for these teams that are close but are just not getting themselves over. What can they do? Or are they going to go defense here? Because Sean McDermott wants to build that defense up always, but do they defer to the offense on this one? Let me put it this way. Is there a wide receiver weapon like a Tony out of Florida, or is that redundant for them? Like, is there anyone out there that you like in this spot for them to add to the offense?
Yeah, I mean, like, ETN is the one who jumps off the board to me because they're not good at running back. Now, how many times are you handing the ball to Travis is the question. You got to justify that. That's the danger, right? You pick a guy in the first round, you start to think, we got to make this pick worth it. Every time you take the ball out of Josh Allen's hands and give it to Travis ETN, it's not a good decision for that offense, and they know that. So I don't think they'd make that pick. I do think it'd be defense here. I don't think they have to go wide receiver. I think they got a really nice depth chart, some young guys, Gabe Davis, Isaiah Hodgins.
I like Gabe.
So to me, I look at a team that, you know, Brandon Bean stood up there with a straight face and was like, we like the idea of Levi Wallace and Dane Jackson battling it out for the corner two job. And I was like, brother, you can't be out here lying. You can't be out here just saying things. Would have been a good Eric Stokes team. They really would have liked him. Asante Samuel is interesting to me, though. 5'10", 185, extremely tough, very, very good cover two zone corner, great closing downhill, can play man coverage. They're going to suffer for size a little bit with him and Tre'Davious White next to each other, but the toughness, the tackling, and the instincts in zone to me are very enticing. So I would take Asante Samuel here.
Love it. So that brings us to...
Have you watched his film?
I've seen a little bit, dude. I like him.
As somebody who, I will give you, was in on Jair Alexander before me and bigger than I was and in a great way and was 100% right on that, watch Asante Samuel and tell me you don't go, this looks like a corner from Louisville I watched a couple years ago, because he's got legit flashes like that.
You know exactly how to pique my interest because you know how huge I am on Alexander. Okay, cool. I'm definitely going to watch him. Let's get to 31, the Kansas City Chiefs. It's weird. We obviously know the biggest need for them. The best free agents out there on the offensive tackle market are Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz. So that brings us to what's left. Is there anything out there for offensive tackle that you would take a look at?
I'd probably make Elijah Vera Tucker the pick here, the guy at USC, which, like I said, probably guard of the next level.
We got a little peek behind the curtain. I think Ben just finalized his draft here.
It stopped at 31. I don't know why. This is finished, and I wasn't ready for it. I was so surprised.
I'm glad it happened here and not at pick 16.
Yeah. Well, no, because I added Elijah. I'm on my admin account, so I added Elijah Vera Tucker, and then I took him out because I thought you still needed to see the team needs. Oh, and then I went to add him again, and the machine was like, you just made two pegs. We're done here. Now I still got 32, man. Anyway, Elijah Vera Tucker is the pick. Can play tackle for you. If your whole Ryan Log, Mike Remmers plan doesn't work out somehow, then maybe he can take the tackle for you. If not, really, really good starting caliber guard. Their left guard spot right now is like maybe Kalike Osemele, maybe Laurent Duvernay-Tardif. Both of those guys, not great bets. He adds your depth of guard and adds your depth of tackle, keeping your offensive line buoyant despite the fact that you kind of gutted it this year. So I like that.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers, defending Super Bowl champions. How can they keep it going as they try to run it back, because they're keeping everybody in town free agency wise, which gives you a lot of flexibility in the draft to add really best player available, in my opinion.
Well, so they're not keeping everybody in town for...
Well, I mean, they have 31 free agents coming into this thing, but you know what I mean.
I'm just setting myself up. I'm not actually serious. Ndamukong Suh is an upcoming free agent. They've been in talks with bringing him back, but they re-signed Rakeem Nunez-Roches, who they brought in part because they didn't have the Ndamukong Suh, because of Sue's injury, they brought in, or because of Vita Vea's injury, excuse me, they brought in Rakeem Nunez-Roches. They re-signed him, which indicates to me that they're not super confident in their ability to bring Ndamukong Suh back.
Are you setting up Levi Onwuzurike?
Onwuzurike?
Yeah.
Now, I mean, like, it would make sense. They had success drafting a Washington defensive tackle a couple years ago, but Christian Barmore on Alabama is the defensive tackle I expect to be the first guy off the board.
I like
for that really, really weak position. He's our first guy we're taking here. Really, really nice finish to 2020, but it was his first year as a full starter, and he was learning as he went. He's still very much so a long arc projection development type player. Has right now an arm over, has a swim, lives and dies with it. And then Lee's going to figure that out quick, be able to neutralize him. He's going to take a year or two to settle in. Once he does, he's clearly an NFL athlete, but it's nice to sit behind maybe Ndamukong Suh, maybe behind Rakeem Nunez-Roches, be a rotational player, start being a bigger part of the team in 2022 and beyond.
Love it. That's our first round mock, ladies and gentlemen. And we are just about out of time. I knew this was going to take a while, but we hope you enjoyed the entire discussion, even if you skipped around to find out what your team did. So you can yell at Benjamin Solak, at Benjamin Solak on Twitter, about the picks he makes. I didn't make any of these picks. This is all on Ben. But Ben, I really appreciate you joining us here and having this discussion. Thank you for showing off the draft machine, mock draft machine, gentle listeners.
Usually it gets through 32 picks. This was user error. I'll make that very clear.
Do your mocks and send them to Ben, and he will judge you mercilessly on Twitter. Right, Ben?
No, I'll be nice. I don't really care. I know. I'm just saying, like, people are like, oh, tell me what's wrong. Nothing. It's great.
So for people that didn't know you coming into this, that are just SB Nation NFL show listeners, let the gentle listeners know where they can find you, all your excellent work, so on and so forth.
Yeah, hi, I'm Ben. I usually act like this. This is me. I am on Twitter at Benjamin Solak, Solak, S-O-L-A-K. And as Mike said, my draft stuff's at the Draft Network, which we've got a fun final month of draft cycle planned here before this thing kicks off. My Eagle stuff's at Bleeding Green and at BGN Radio, Mike's old home.
That's going to do it for the SB Nation NFL show. Michael Kist signing off. Benjamin Solak is out of here. Go dominate and have yourselves a day.